morning. And welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. We're not really confused, no more than our usual amount of confusion. Sometimes when the weather is tricky, sometimes people can't get here. So we find other people. That's what we do. We step in. And Prairie, as I think everybody here knows, is not necessarily, that's not true. We strive to be an open-hearted and an open-minded congregation. And bless you, all of you, for getting here this morning. It's a little tricky out there, but after, 10 or 11 straight days of snow, we're learning, remembering. If this is one of your first times here, you're always encouraged to come again because our services vary from week to week. Sometimes I do the service, sometimes people from within the congregation do it, and sometimes people from outside do it, outside our Prairie community. But whoever you are, wherever you are on this journey of life, this spiritual journey, you are welcome here. No matter your abilities, your disabilities, your sexual orientation, your gender identification, your ethnicity, the color of your hair, your eyes, you are welcome here. The opening words are from Forest Church, who's no longer with us physically, unfortunately. And these are from the introduction to a wonderful book called A Chosen Faith, an introduction to Unitarian Universalism that Forest Church did with John Burens. Mm-hmm. Where's your church? We're standing in it. But this is a bookstore, and it's a Friday. Yes, but you might also choose to see it as a cathedral of the human spirit, a storehouse consecrated to the full spectrum of human experience. Just about every idea we've ever had is in here, somewhere. A place containing great thinking is a sacred place. As often as possible, I'd like to have our wonderful Director of Religious Education, Holly, light our chalice. We become not a melting pot, but a beautiful mosaic. Different people, different beliefs, different yearnings, different hopes, different dreams. Now I'll turn it over to someone who doesn't need a lot of introduction, I don't think. Dawn Hazlett, one of our members, who will do the service. I'm not sure where to, I think if I put it down here, it'll be okay. Until Al tells me otherwise.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
What do you want to put it on? Oh, wood. Put it on a wood. Okay. Except I keep getting really badly shocked.
Can you hear me now? Yeah? Okay. Good morning, intrepid Wisconsiners. We made it here, didn't we? I thank you very much for coming out. A newcomer took a seat in one of the pews at First Unitarian. When the minister began preaching about liberal theology, the newcomer became more and more enthusiastic and finally shouted, "Amen!" When the preacher definitively proved the use of reason was essential to religion. There was a longtime member of the church in the next pew who leaned over and glared at the newcomer. "In this church, we do not shout amen during the sermon," hissed the longtime member. The newcomer, looking flustered, said, "But I've got religion." "Well," hissed the longtime member, "you did not get it here." And for this topic, I searched and searched, and I even found a joke about the sources, okay? It says, "After the secular humanists came along, we said that you use believe in one God, at most. Now with the sixth source and the pagans, we say that you use believe in one God, more or less." Okay, pop quiz. What are the six sources of Unitarian Universalism? No peeking in your hymnal. Okay, I will guide you along. Today I'm here to do a wrap-up of our theme for last year, the six sources. The programming committee endeavored to bring us programs that reflected all of our UU sources. So here are the sources and some of the related highlights from our Sunday services last year. See if these ring a bell. Number one, direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. Sandy drew on this source in her January 8th reflection, Loose Connections, and again in Revolt, Resist, and Rejoice in July, which I really like. Number two, words and deeds of prophetic women and men, which challenge us to confront powers and structures of evil with justice, compassion, and the transforming power of love. Spandy spoke of prophetic men and women in services on Howard Truman, James Luther Adams, Norbert Capick, William James, Paul Tillich, and Anne Hutchinson. Robert Prout presented us with Louisa Adams, a woman of courage. Joanna Hatch talked about Kurt Vonnegut, in my opinion, an author of prophetic wisdom. And we've talked about Mark Twain, a man of vision and a cantankerous critic of society. Number three, wisdom from the world's religions, which inspires us in our ethical and spiritual life. Sandy drew from world religions in December when she talked about Buddhism in her What Better Time reflection. Number four, Jewish and Christian teachings. Services led by Sandy included Easter, the Big Ten, which is about the Ten Commandments, and the Jewish High Holy Days in her service Would Have, Could Have, Should Have. Wally Schmeschel, thoroughly immersed us in Christianity for one Sunday. Margaret Carpenter led the children in celebrating the Day of the Dead, another faith holiday. Number five, humanist teachings, which counsel us to heed the guidance of reason and the results of science and warn us against the idolatries of the mind and spirit. Margaret Beth O'Halloran presented her views on humanism, and Sandy spoke to this source in August with a reflection titled, How Many UUs Does It Take to Change the World? Number six, spiritual teachings of earth-centered traditions which celebrate the sacred circle of life and instruct us to live in harmony with the rhythms of nature. Kathy Converse shared The Secret Life of Trees, instructing us to live in harmony with nature. Sandy drew on this source in her Easter service, and again when she talked about William James in August. Planning these services helped me to better understand the underpinnings of our faith. Unitarian Universalists have staked their understanding of religion on a different interpretation of God. This started with Arius in 325 CE, who stood his ground to his dying day that the Trinity was not in the Bible, and he refused to accept that Jesus was God. And so began many years of conflict among Christians. The path of Unitarians in America was solidified when William Ellery Channing took to his pulpit and claimed the word Unitarian, which until this point had only been used as a word to identify Unitarians as heretics. The evolution of our faith continued. This is what I discovered for me. Unitarian Universalism is first and foremost a chosen faith. In our chosen faith, which we read from, Forest Church says, for most of us, our faith did not choose us, we chose it. Forest Church begins his preface to our chosen faith by saying, all theology is autobiography. And Church tells about his leaving the Presbyterian Church because he did not believe what he was being taught. I was raised in the Evangelical United Brethren Church, as you all know. I learned my catechism and I repeated all the right answers. But as a high schooler, I began to question the bland entreaties to be good, whatever that meant, that came from the pulpit each week. Why wasn't the minister talking about what goes on around us? The Vietnam War or the Civil Rights Movement? That's my era. In college, one of the best courses I took was Introduction to Religion. Each section was taught by a member of a religious faith, a rabbi, a priest, a Lutheran minister, a Buddhist, and my study session was taught by a nun. I can still picture her today. She didn't wear the customary habit, and I was shocked at first when she told me she was a nun. We would meet weekly in her small office on the second floor. Sister Anne challenged me. She was a remarkable woman, liberal and open-minded, but still very secure in her faith. The course gave me a beginning look at the vast variety of human experience that was never imagined or spoken of in my parents' congregation. What drew me to Unitarian Universalism after decades of no religious community was that I could learn and think for myself in a community of seekers. I come to services to learn something. I appreciate Stephen Colbert's term, the truthiness in our services. Currently, we're hearing a lot about immigrants as the Congress attempts to find a solution for DACA recipients after the president broke our government's promise to them. I think of Unitarian Universalism as an immigrant religion. Unitarian Universalist minister Victoria Safford said, "Many Unitarian Universalists are accustomed to self-identify as exiles, or at least immigrants, either from some other religious tradition or from an utterly unchurched life. For most of us, our immigration has been voluntary. We were not excommunicated or banished from the churches and the temples of our childhood. We walked. And nothing forced us to come here. Technically, we are more willful expatriates than persecuted exiles. But with our collective memory, the shared history of our tradition has carried the imprint of a true exile. Early Universalists were banished from the countries of their birth and chased as far away as the New World. Read one way, our history is the story of gadflies and rabble-rousers and incurable heretics. Read another way, and perhaps more honestly, Unitarian Universalist history is the story of those who could not, with integrity, abide imposed belief or imposed religious practice." Safford's words really spoke to me. Just as people from around the world come to America, UU seek a myriad of sources and principles to live better lives and work towards a more just society. Just like America isn't a melting pot where cultures blend together, our society has been described as a salad. In a salad, you don't want all the ingredients mushed together. You want to taste the lettuce, the cucumbers, the tomatoes. Each vegetable maintains its identity, and you appreciate the differences. So, for me, Unitarian Universalism is not some boiled-down version of world religions. It is a faith based on enduring resources that reflect where we came from. Some saw a path from natural experiences. Some were Christians. Some were Jews. Some believed in God while others did not. Some looked to other religions to find their path, and as well as native traditions. Some chose to bring humanism to the party, while others drew inspiration from men and women of character and vision. And some came from the early seekers, the transcendentalists. Just as the dreamers and immigrants from across the globe enrich our culture, Unitarian Universalism is here for us to enrich our lives if we choose this faith. Unlike the dogma that many of us grew up with, plenty of it, UUs choose their own path, So, as you use, we are members of a free, liberal faith that sustains us, supports us, enriches us, and loves us. We stand on the side of love, and with the Black Lives Matter campaign, and with the Dreamers, and with gay and transgender people. Our church in Denver right now is currently a sanctuary for undocumented people and for others who are afraid of what ICE is doing in our communities. I'm very proud of that, of hearing about what Denver is doing. Individually, we as UUs choose our own path, but our shared values as a community holds us together and lets us make an impact on a broader society. What could be better than that?
This is just a point of information, which I have mentioned before, but of course not everyone who goes to prayer is here on every Sunday, mm-hmm. So I will say it again. And I think we should be proud of this. And Penny, you kept using prophetic persons. Thank you. Uh-huh. If you look in the hymnal, it says prophetic women and men. It does have women first. But at last summer's General Assembly, we voted to change that, women and men to persons, prophetic persons. Oh. Of course, it has to go through a lengthy process. We will debate it forever.
And that's this part.
Right? Yes, mm-hmm. Right in the beginning of the hymnal. So I think that will change. I mean, I think it'll be passed without too much trouble. Then again, we are UUs.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was wonderful. Thank you. The closing words are from Emma Lazarus. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. May it be so. Go in peace, greet your neighbor by bread and sweet things. Drink coffee.